You are Locked On Brewers, your daily Milwaukee Brewers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Cheer a superstar.
And that one's deep. Right center. Christian Yelich has tied it. You are Locked On Brewers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm your host, Ben Larson. You can find me on Twitter at Locked On Brewers, at Cheesehead Talks, and on Facebook, facebook.com/Locked On Brewers. And we're back. Glad to be back. A little late today because I was late coming home last night from a family vacation, but back to a sort of quote-unquote live podcast. It's an oxymoron. Podcasts aren't live. They're taped, but I was out of the state and then out of the country for a few days and out of the ability to even communicate with people back here in the good old US of A for a while over the weekend because I went on a cruise. So I was in the Caribbean. Enjoying time, you know, down in Cozumel, Mexico, on the open sea, really roughing it. Cruises are crazy, man. I mean, you know, it is what it is, right? If you've been on one, you understand. It's kind of like Vegas on a boat. You know, the gluttony is just ridiculous. But it was a good time, and I tried to keep as much track as I could about the Brewers. For a while, I missed, I think, Friday night's score. I could not get because all we had, it didn't have any internet access. I think you could pay a bunch of money for it. And I was kind of like, no, I'm unplugging. Got to unplug and get away and just enjoy time with the family. So I did not see Friday night score until yesterday when I got back on the mainland. And I did see because the cruise had one TV with an ESPN ticker. And it really brought me back, you know, when you couldn't just get on your phone and go to the app and see what the scores were, you know, instantaneously. I had to wait through, like, stupid SEC news and college football news. I like college football, but I wasn't interested, you know. And so, and tennis scores, right? And I finally would get around to the Brewers and see the final scores. And I saw, you know, they were down on Sunday 1-0 in the eighth, and then I went to bed. Not being able to get back to a TV because that was the afternoon, but I just couldn't get back. So I finally then woke up on Monday morning, saw that they'd lost 1-0, and then saw they won Friday night. So I was happy to see they'd won 5 out of 6, and so that was the story. Now I got back to we got off the cruise and our flight out from Tampa to Detroit and then to Madison where I live was not until late in the day, okay? So I basically spent 7 hours just sitting around with my kids and my in-laws and my wife in an airport yesterday, which is not so bad. Tampa Airport's pretty nice, actually, if you've never been. And so we were sitting there, and I decided, well, no time like the present because the kids are kind of occupied to sort of recap and watch highlights of the game. And again, I know I'm kind of going all over the place here, but you'll see where I'm going in a minute. YouTube TV, if you want to sponsor our podcast, please do. I will endorse you up the wazoo because I've been using you for over a year and I love you because all the games just automatically taped and I'm on my device and I can just watch parts of the game that I think are important. And so I started watching Saturday night's game just to see. I wanted to see how the Brewers got their 3-0 lead and kind of get a feel for it because I got up 3-0 and they held on to win 3-2. And so I'm watching Adrian Hauser in the first inning, and I know nothing of the backstory here, nothing, right? And so I'm watching this without any background knowledge. This is after I'd watched the highlight of Eric Thames walking off the Rangers on Friday night. And so I'm watching this, and I see he kind of screws up the little comebacker to the mound, and then he's holding his stomach, and I'm thinking, oh, well, he's in pain. So what happened? Did he, like, kind of roll his ankle trying to get to that comebacker? and Brian Anderson, who, by the way, I thought did a fantastic job in the moment about this. I really did, because it's kind of an awkward situation, right? So he's holding his stomach, and then they flash to a shot where you're looking from behind home plate, if you saw this on Fox Sports Wisconsin, and he's crouching down, and he yaks all over the place. Again, he pukes like crazy. I couldn't believe it. I said, I mouthed out loud, kind of whisper mouthed in the airport. Are you kidding me? Again? You know, this happened last year for Adrian Hauser. And so he pukes all over the place, and they catch it on TV kind of from behind. You can't really see it, you know, his face, but he's puking on the field again. And I'm just flabbergasted. I can't believe it. And this, I think, was a moment of true team unity, okay? Because what happened was then, I think, was it Moustakas calls in Keston Hira and even Eric Thames to get closer and huddle around Adrian Hauser so that not everybody can see him yakking his guts out right next to the pitcher's mound on the field. Now, would you do that? Would you do that as a friend, or would you bolt? Because I would bolt. I cannot stand the smell or the sight of puke, which brings me to my two-year-old last night who threw up all over me on the plane on the way into Detroit. And I thought, well, that must be karma for me having those thoughts, right? So anyway, I don't need to go into that. It was not a pleasant experience, and I will remind him of it for the rest of his life. But anyway, so they huddle around, and then you saw the grounds crew. They bring out a water pitcher. What do you even call it? To water plants, you know, one of the things with the spout. And it's like a pretty gardening, watering I'm so sad I don't know what that's called. It's a waterer, you know, and a shovel, like a big, you know, winter shovel, I think it was, like a metal to shovel snow. And they bring this out and they water the area. And I'm thinking, what is this, fertilizer? I mean, what are you doing? So they just spray it now with water. Now, in football, they would just let it be on the field and you have to play on it. Because that's what, you remember when Favre puked because he got hit in the guts? It probably happened a couple times. I know it happened against Tampa, like way back. Ironically, Tampa, way back in the 90s at Lambeau Field, and I think they just, you know, had to let it play. But no, they water it, and I don't know if they ended up using the shovel. I didn't see from the TV shot. But Thames is out there, and he's got his glove over his mouth, and he can't stop laughing. And I think everybody in the Brewers clubhouse, you know, once they knew Hauser just had basically, you know, lost his lunch and he was going to be fine, they felt the same way, right? Maybe even during. And the thought is, are you joking with this? Are you kidding? Because this happened to him again last year, and he came up with all these excuses for it. And actually, it was a good article by Robert Murray, friend of show in The Athletic. But you thought that was behind him now. And so, long story short, he goes out, and he's like no hits the Rangers, what, through four or whatever it was, and gives up a run and goes six innings, one run to earn his first victory as a starter for the Brewers, which, okay, after all that, now makes me think that he is reaching legendary status, right? That's legend. He's like the guy from the Jamie Foxx character in what's the movie? Any Given Sunday. Man, I must be more tired than I thought. I can't think of anything this morning. Any Given Sunday, right, where he has to puke before every performance. Or, even more relevant maybe, the guy in The Cutting Edge. You know, the figure skating movie where they go and win the Olympics, where he pukes before every big performance because he was a hockey player and he used to puke before every hockey game. Have you seen The Cutting Edge? You've seen The Cutting Edge. Don't tell me you haven't seen The Cutting Edge. Don't try and cover it up. Everybody has seen The Cutting Edge, even though it's about figure skating, because it's on cable all the time, or it used to be, and because it's sort of has to do with sports, and you've seen it. So don't tell me you haven't. But anyway, stuff like that, right, where he has to puke all the time. Imagine if the Brewers have huge games down the stretch here, which, you know, they very well might and are trending toward, and even in the playoffs, and Adrian Hauser is starting. He's going to puke. He's a puker. He's a puker, and it's okay. There's nothing wrong with being a puker as long as, you know, maybe it's a good thing. He pukes, he gets out, get out of his system, and then he pitches really well. But from henceforth now, going forward on the podcast, he's going to be known as Puker. Puker Hauser. I mean, how could it be anything else, right? The guy's a puker. I haven't even seen any other write-ups on this or heard a lot of other chatter about it, but it had to be a topic, right? I haven't even seen what he said about it yet because I'm jet-lagged and on like 3 hours of sleep from getting home so late last night and being puked on. But this is what the guy's name is. So just so you know, all that is to sum up and say, one, he's kind of an urban legend now. And two, Puker. Okay, Puker Hauser is going to get the start, what, this weekend coming up for the Brewers again? We'll see if he can hold his cookies down. So we'll talk about the Brewers and their 5-1 their 5-1 trip here. Not trip, the three-game sweep in Pittsburgh and then the series win against the Texas Rangers. And the fact they're 5-1 after they were 1-5 the previous week and how that feels, we'll recap that. I'll do 3 up and 3 down about the 5-1 stretch here. And then talk about the Twins ahead and the big stretch ahead for the Brewers. That's basically what the show is today. And, of course, I just did 10 minutes on Adrian Hauser puking, which I think was totally worth it. And the perfect you know, comeback to the show for yours truly to live podcasting. So that's ahead here on Locked On Brewers. Hey, fantasy football players, make sure you listen to Vinny Lyer on Locked On Fantasy Football. Vinny gives you the edge with over 20 years covering fantasy football. Don't listen to the same stuff as everyone else. Then you're the same. Get the edge from Vinny that will put you ahead on draft day and put you ahead all season long. Locked On Fantasy Football, your favorite, listen to it, I should say, on your favorite podcast provider.
3 up, 3 down.
Okay, I'm going to take you through 3 up, 3 down on the stretch here, okay? But we were gone and we saw the, or I was gone for the podcast. And again, hope you enjoyed the series we did with the Brewer minor league broadcasters all of last week. But I was out, and while I was out, the Brewers won 5 out of 6. And I was saying the last live podcast I did was just after they'd won the first game in Pittsburgh. And I was saying, hey, ugly, but maybe it can start something. And it did, and now we'll see. We'll look ahead about, you know, if they can continue this coming up, because that's the big key. They've done this a few times this year, but then they fall on their face. So let's see what happens. Ups from this whole trend, this 5 out of 6, the starting pitching. I mean, you got Puker, you got Chase Anderson, you got Gio Gonzalez, you got Lyles, who's been outstanding. Lyle, how about that trade so far? Now, we'll evaluate the trade, you know, after the season. As far as getting Jordan Lyles, now he's done. But amazing how a guy can come and be atrocious, just awful, and then lights out with a change of scenery. If you can ever figure out baseball, you know, just do your podcast. Start your own podcast, and I will gladly, you know, submit to you whatever, and you can be the master podcaster or whatever on baseball, because this sport's impossible to figure out. Jordan Lyles has been outstanding so far with the Brewers. So starting pitching continues to be, all in all, very, very good for the Brewers. And it is something that's a very positive sign here, particularly with all the injuries in the month of August. The second up is the timely hitting during the stretch. So none of these games really have been blowouts, and the Brewers have had to come up with key hits, hits with runners in scoring position, the ability to maybe lose a lead and come back and get the lead, i.e. Eric Thames walking it off on Friday night. So timely hitting's been a big deal throughout this stretch of 5 out of 6, save Sunday when they couldn't hit anything because Mr. Minor was lights out for the Rangers. But all in all, pretty good hitting during the stretch too. And the third up, doing it without Christian Yelich. Christian Yelich did play in the first win during the stretch, but then he missed the next 5 games, 4 of which were wins. So obviously the Brewers don't need Christian Yelich. No. But again, his back spasms flare up, and they are able to get it done without him during this stretch. The downs, the bullpen. Ben Rocky, you know, Freddy Peralta, I was hoping that it would be a blip and he could get back to that 2-week stretch where he was really good, but that's not the case. He's up and down. He's super young. This is what you're going to get with Freddy Peralta. It's why you can't really, I don't think now, depend on him down the stretch. You'll use him, but I don't know that you can really depend on him in those big situations. So that is yet to be determined, right, with this bullpen. And then Josh Hader is giving up the long ball, and he's been stung by it. And a lot of people are saying, eh, no big deal. Home runs are up this year. His home runs are up. I don't know. I mean, a one-run game, again, here August, September, and a huge game against the Cubs or the Cardinals, you're going to go to him. There's no other place to go. You got to go to him. He's still, you know, opponent's batting average is still .150 or whatever it is against him. He's still striking out a lot of guys, but he's given up a lot of home runs. And when they make contact, they're leaving the ballpark, it seems. Not every time, but he's given up a lot. And they're big home runs, i.e., again, Friday night. But, you know, in that outing, he got 5 outs. He struck out, I think, 4. He gives up one home run, but that's enough because the Brewers only had a one-run lead. So that's dicey. And the rest of the bullpen, you know, is figuring it out kind of, but then not so much. Guerra, meh. You know, Faria has been okay. You know, it's just it's a lot to be sorted out there, and it's not there at all yet. And it certainly did not help a lot during this stretch of winning. And then the second down, I have Yelich's back because is this the third time that this has happened this year where he misses four or five games? Then he's expected to be back tonight. That's what the report is. But doesn't that scare you? That could flare up again, you know, if the Brewers are right in it in late September. And then what do you do? Because you can't, you know, you don't want to run him out there and risk something worse where a muscle pulls or whatever happens and he's out for the rest of the year. So what if he has to sit out for four games in the last week of the season? You know, it is what it is. There's not much you can do about it, but it's a little scary right now for the Brewers. They're fortunate to win while he was out, but obviously you want your MVP in there, right, down the stretch. The third down, still just squeaking by. I've been talking about laughers, right, when I was back here last week, and the Brewers find a way to win a laugher, and it's looked like maybe they're on their way to a couple times, and then the other team gets back in the game. They'll get up 5-0 a couple times, 5-1, whatever it's been during this streak, and then the other team makes it a two-run game or a one-run game. Man, I'd love to see a blowout. I think it was the last one against the Braves back last month where they won like 13-1. It just hasn't happened that much. I'll have to check that. But it hasn't happened that much, and this team, you know, again, even though they're on a hot streak right now, you can see where it might not be a hot streak. And you can also see when they're on their cold streaks where they're a hitter away from, you know, winning a few games and making that a hot streak. So they're just a team that has to scratch and claw and get a couple breaks to win a game. And I don't know that you can turn that into a really hot winning streak unless, you know, that trend changes and they can get a lot of run production and get out in front and see. So that's kind of where we're at. Three up, three down. Again, I'll take the 5 out of 6. The Brewers absolutely needed it at this time, particularly with other teams playing well. Brewers won 5 out of 6, but they didn't make a lot of hay in the standings. They're within 2.5 games of the Cubs, still three back in the loss column, by the way, which is the key metric here as we go down the stretch. But not in the wild card. They're still a half game back. And so other teams are playing well, and the Brewers had to do that this week just to stay in it. But they did, and that's the important thing. And again, I've been saying for a long time, this is trending toward the Brewers being in it all the way down the stretch, but it doesn't feel like they have the advantage. Now, you could probably say that about all the teams because they're so flawed. All teams are flawed here, wild card and divisional races. So this is what's going to make it kind of fun down the stretch. You're not seeing elite baseball, but you're seeing very competitive baseball, and that's what we'll see down the stretch here, both in the NL Central and the National League wild card. So we'll look ahead to this stretch ahead for the Brewers. Starts with the Twins tonight. A lot of off days, but a lot of very good teams that they have to face, again, with this injured pitching staff who's performed well so far, but can they keep it up? So we'll talk about that coming up. That's on the way. You're Locked On Brewers. On the way to, hopefully for you, a good night in the bedroom. Blue Chew. We've talked about it quite a bit on the podcast. You've heard all about the pill that you can chew. It acts faster than some of those other blue pills that you've heard about, purple pills, whatever they are. You know, Viagra, Cialis. It's got the same active ingredients. And all you have to do is go online, bluechew.com, and you can get a prescription, you know, with more ease. You don't have to go to the doctor, okay? So you answer some questions, and then if they approve you, you get the prescription. They'll mail it to you discreetly. It'll show up on an unmarked package on your front door. Sounds more shady than probably it is. But anyway, it'll show up unmarked. The point is to try and be discreet, right? And it'll be there for you when you need it, both either to help you perform or to enhance your performance, right? Some baseball players 20 years ago know about performance enhancement. Hey, Blue Chew's there for you. So check it out, bluechew.com. Enter promo code MLB to get a special discount right now, and go to bluechew.com and take advantage. The new Locked On NFL is on fire. Last week, it was one of the most listened to NFL shows with the expert analysis of former NFL scout Matt Williamson and hosted by Brian Peacock. Locked On NFL is your daily national podcast on all things NFL. With Matt's unique take on the game, follow Locked On NFL now on your favorite podcast provider. All right, the Brewers take on the Twins starting tonight. Two-game miniseries at Miller Park to wrap up their interleague play with the Twins here in 2019. The Brewers and Twins split. That was, by the way, and I don't know if you know this or not, but very significant. That series represented the first broadcast of this podcast. So, a little emotional today. No, just kidding. But the Twins are coming into Miller Park. And, you know, on one hand, you're jealous as a Brewer fan, or at least I am, because the Twins are 71-47, which is obviously a great record. It was at 24 games over 500. They're really playing well and got off to a great start this year. But they were so dominant early. Remember when the Brewers went to Minnesota? The Twins were about 10 games up over Cleveland in the division. Well, Cleveland won yesterday. They have they've won a couple in a row. They're 8-2 in their last 10. The Indians are red hot, and they are now 72-47, including a big series win over Minnesota over the weekend, and then they won again yesterday. So now they're a half game up on the Twins in the division. Minnesota has fallen out of first place. So the Brewers catching the Twins, maybe not playing their best baseball, and maybe a chance to take advantage here. You hope at Miller Park is the situation here with the Brewers and the Twins coming into play today. So I'll get to that matchup in just a minute, but I wanted to highlight as well, just kind of setting up the rest of August for the Brewers and even looking ahead to September here. Because, you know, with the issue, we're just about halfway through the month now, and with the issue with the starting pitching and sort of the makeshift lineup the Brewers have had to put out there from a pitching standpoint, they've done pretty well. You know, all things considered, they haven't record-wise been smashing. They needed this stretch here last week just to get back to being, you know, okay with all the injuries. But now they come into this stretch, Twins at home for two. Then they'll hit the road for six at Washington, who's playing much better baseball, and at St. Louis, who, of course, is right with you in the race and a team that you need to play well against and haven't seen for a long time in the Cardinals. So a lot of games early against the Cardinals, and now you'll finish up with quite a few games down the stretch against the Cardinals. Then you get a day off. You're hosting the Diamondbacks and the Cardinals during a six-game homestand, three games each. And then you're at the Cubs for three. And to end August and start September, you go Cubs for three, Houston for two at home, and then you turn around and, or I'm certain you don't go, but you face the Cubs again at home for four over that first September weekend. I think it's Labor Day weekend. So just a huge stretch for the Brewers. And then in September, the games lighten up a little bit as far as the strength of schedule and opponents, but you're playing a stretch of 18 in a row at the beginning of the month there. After an off day, I think the first Wednesday of the month, then you're playing a stretch of 18 in a row that's, you know, going to be demanding on your bullpen, your staff. Good news is you'll have an expanded roster. And that'll be the deal with the Brewers. You'll see Travis Shaw back up. You'll see some other pitchers probably back up or up for the first time and trying to help out during that stretch, something they did very well last year in September, and I would imagine we'll try to do the same thing. So I was wrong on that Cubs series. The series at Wrigley is over Labor Day weekend, and then they come home on Labor Day to take on the Astros on September 2nd. So just FYI on that. But the Brewers, in the next 3 weeks, have three plus, they're 3 weeks and a few days here, have, including today, have five off days. And then they only have two off days all of September. So it's, you know, going to get a little tight there. And can they stay in it and even make some progress here against these other contending teams the rest of August? That's the big thing to check out here. So that's sort of the setup and what the Brewers are facing. And again, they've had these stretches before this year where they win 5 out of 6, even extended a little bit a few weeks ago, it was 8 out of 11, and then they fell on their face. So what about now? And what's changed to convince you that maybe they can extend this hot streak and win, you know, 16 out of 20 or something like that to really put themselves firmly in the race and even maybe, you know, with a slight edge? That'll be crucial here over the next, you know, really 3 weeks, three plus weeks, as they face all these contending teams and teams they're competing against for the division and the wild card. So it gets really interesting now for the Brewers, and they've got to hold up until some of their pitchers, namely Brandon Woodruff, gets back here in early September from that oblique strain. So Brewers and Twins tonight to open up the mini two-game series. Chase Anderson, who's been excellent over the last, you know, what, 6 weeks. He's been really, really good. He will hit the mound again for the Brewers against Martin Perez for the Twins. Now, Martin Perez has a 4.80 ERA, and in his last two starts against Atlanta on August 7th and against Kansas City on August 2nd, he gave up 6 and 5 earned runs respectively. So maybe he's not feeling it so well this time. He's been pretty average for the Twins. A few good starts here and there as you kind of look down his pitching logs, but usually gives up a few runs. So can the Brewer offense take advantage and maybe pounce on a Twins team that is reeling a little bit, you know, that's struggling a little? They just fell out of first place, as I mentioned. Crucial games. Even though they're interleague, they're crucial games here for the Brewers. Every game now, of course, as you know, just gets bigger and bigger as we hit the stretch drive on the season. The Brewers 2.5 games back in the division, but 3 back in the loss column and a half game back in the wild card, and here we go. So this will be exciting to see if the Brewers can put together a stretch. We've been asking for it all year. Kind of got it. Can they continue it? You know, can they turn 5 out of 6 into, again, over a 20-game stretch, 16, 17 out of 20, something like that? Tall order. I'm asking a lot. I know that. And they don't necessarily have to do that, but it would be a huge deal, especially right now against these teams, if they could. And I'm not that confident they will, just so you know. But, you know, you never know. And it's been a very interesting season so far. And a team that you just can't predict what's going to happen with the Brewers. You just there's no way to predict it. You just don't know. So we'll talk about it all tomorrow. We'll recap Brewers Twins. I'll probably get a guest of some sort as I get myself acclimated back to you know, life here after the vacation. And we'll continue the podcast, of course, tomorrow. Looking forward to it. You can always find me on Twitter at Cheesehead Talks is my personal handle, or at Locked On Brewers, the show handle. Also, Facebook.com/LockedOnBrewers. You can check us out there. Please rate and review the podcast and tell a friend about Locked On Brewers, especially now. The Brewers are in contention going down the stretch. You want a daily fix of Brewer baseball? It's right here. So tell a Brewer fan friend all about it as we continue to grow the show. Thanks for listening. Remember, you can subscribe to the show on the new Himalaya podcast app, as well as Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. And when you get in your car, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Brewers. I'm Ben Larson. I'll talk to you tomorrow when we deliver your daily Brewers fix right here on Locked On Brewers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.